I got a feeling this is going to be the theme of the week here in Kansas City and across the Midwest. All about Miami this week. All about South Beach. All about the Hard Rock Stadium. All about George Toma getting the field ready. Kansas City zone. He's worked every Super Bowl. And, of course, 810 has a large contingent headed to Miami. Darren Smith is there right now. He's going to join us later in the show. During the week this week, they'll be rotating people in and out depending on the days. Saran Petro will be headed down. Stephen St. John will be headed to Miami. Todd Lebo. Allie Trost. So we'll have it all covered. I'm a little jealous. I'll admit it. By the way, let's set the table for you. This is Sports Sunday. Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City and across the Midwest. Cranking out 50,000 watts. You can listen worldwide by getting the app at 810WHB.com. My name is Brad Porter. You can follow me on Twitter at Brad K. Porter. Joshua Byers is running the show. So let's set the table for you today. Coming up at 9:30, for the first time on our show, Kelly Stewart. Many of you follow her on Twitter, at Kelly in Vegas. Her job is to cover sports gambling and talk about it. She's actually not in Vegas today. She's in Atlantic City, where they are doing shows for Bleacher Report. So Kelly Stewart's going to join us and give us kind of the Vegas-Atlantic City view of Super Bowl 54, what they're looking at in terms of wagers, maybe some of the fun prop bets, which I'm going to get to in just a second. At 10 o'clock, as I mentioned, Darren Smith from Sports Radio 810 WHB is down there. He's going to join us from South Beach. I told him to enjoy the weather. Of course, he hosts the Ship on 810 WHB and ESPN Kansas City, 94.5 FM and 1510 AM. So Darren is already on the ground in Miami. He'll give us an update there. And then at 11 o'clock, Nick Jacobs, 41 Action News and co-host of the podcast, 4th and 1, will join us. He's been doing, as he does every week, he's been doing film study all week. You can get his film breakdowns at Jacobs71. That's at Jacobs71. He does Jacob's Eye in the Sky. So that's going to be a lot of fun. He was with us last week, too. So I kind of thought, let's keep the good vibes going, you know, kind of get some of the guests we had last week. I'm going to do it again next week, too. So for the Saturday show. I mentioned Kelly Stewart coming up at 9:30. Some of the Vegas prop bets are rolling out. In fact, one sports book, I just printed this off. The Westgate Las Vegas has 600 prop bets. 600! And it's everything you can possibly... Now, the ones I printed off only had to do with the game itself, and I'll get through all of that. But one of the ones that we talk about every year, we might as well, because I think it's interesting. The length of the national anthem. How long is it going to be? You pick the over, you pick the under. So Demi Lovato is doing the national anthem this year. And I don't know much Demi Lovato music. I know she's really good. I've seen her on, I don't know, award shows and things like that. She's good. Okay. I'm sure if you played a song of hers, like her most popular song, I would probably have heard it. But so there's two different over-unders here. The first one from, let's see, betonline.ag is 1 minute and 56 seconds. The other one I found, let's see, was 2 minutes, and that is by Bovada is set at 2 minutes.
I feel like last year's was like 4 minutes or something.
Well, here's the thing. They did actually put some research into that. In 7 of the past 11 national anthems sung by women...
Hit
the over.
Oh.
Let's see.
I think Demi's going to hit the under. I don't see her getting, you know, super vibrato with it at the end or anything.
Well, there's also an interesting tie-in on that. So Demi Lovato has been sick for the last week or two, right? At least that's what I heard. Historically, this is according to the story on sportsillustrated.com. Historically, sick performers cut their anthems short. Happened in 2018 when Pink, who was stricken with the flu, delivered a shorter anthem than expected. So you can factor that in as well. One of the shortest ones, Billy Joel, 2007, 1:30. That's fast. That's cranking it out fast, Billy Joel. I'm all for a fast national anthem. Now here's another tie-in for Demi Lovato, and I had forgotten about this. I found this. I think Len Jennings from Channel 9 retweeted this, and I had forgotten about it. Demi Lovato sang the national anthem, the 2015 World Series, Royals and Mets. Maybe a little luck there? Maybe a little? You're looking for any angle you can, right? Luck, karma, superstitions, or you just believe in Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. Whatever works for you is fine with me. Personally, I wouldn't bet on the length of the national anthem. It's kind of a waste of money, but I guess it's fun if you got some extra bones to throw out there. That's fine. So we're going to get into that some with Kelly Stewart here coming up at 9:30. Yesterday, Joshua, we were talking about, I had not cranked up my excitement level yet. Because the week before the teams get to the Super Bowl site, in this case Miami, is just kind of a dead week. There's not a lot to talk about. And the national shows, like the sports centers and things like that, they didn't really talk about the Super Bowl much last week. It was mostly college basketball, NBA, Australian Open tennis, Tiger Woods playing golf. It's never about who's in the lead of the golf tournament he's in. It's where is he now. He's five shots back at the, I believe it's the Farmers Insurance Open this week. He's five shots back. I can't tell you who's leading. I know Rory's in there towards the top somewhere.
He's going to choke
maybe
it.
Maybe John Rahm. I think John Rahm's at the top.
He's a solid player.
John Rahm is fantastic.
But yeah, we had Mitch Morrison studio this morning, and he's the former Chief, Buffalo Bill.
Yeah.
And
back in town, I guess?
He said that, you know, he's obviously got friends on the team. He's not even talking about the Super Bowl yet because it's on every single TV everywhere. They already know, so.
Yeah. And a lot of the Super Bowl talk this week on the national networks was just kind of Super Bowl history shows. Really not getting into it. And the teams arrive in Miami today, so that's when it, and then Media Day obviously is coming up, and that's always wild because they invite people who are there to make it a spectacle about themselves and not really cover the Super Bowl. Whatever. Free publicity for the National Football League. But today I'm cranked it up a little bit. Teams are going. The guys from Sports Radio 810 WHB are going to be heading out. Darren Smith is already there. I know I saw tweets. Mick Schaefer, 41 Action News, is already there with their team. I saw a tweet. I think Laura Moritz from Channel 9, they've got a team down there. 5 and 4 have teams down there. So all the local networks will have teams in Miami for the Super Bowl. So now I'm getting cranked up because Mick Schaefer was on at 6 a.m. today, this morning, with their people. So that's kind of like, okay, I'm feeling it now. People are there. Our Kansas City people are there and ready to go. So now I'm ready to go. Still sticking with Chiefs -1.5. I'm still feeling good about that. I'm still feeling the under on 54.5. That's probably one of those, if I actually had to put my money down, because I say this every time, I don't actually bet money on these things. I just do it for fun. If I actually had to put money down on 54.5, I'd probably stay away from it. That's kind of a, hey, Jason Anderson's here on a Sunday. Come on. I'd probably stay away from 54.5. That's just, it's a big number. Weird things happen in the Super Bowl. I mean, anybody think the Rams were going to be held to, what, 3 points last year? Strange things happen.
What was it, 12-3 or something?
Yeah.
Ew. And then the year before that, I think the Eagles, it was like a super high scoring.
Yeah. Weird things happen.
I'm leaning more towards high scoring, I think.
You think so?
I think so.
Okay. All right. So we got all that still to come, and we got all that. We're going to have plenty of Chiefs coverage for you all week here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. One note from the Pro Bowl. Joshua, are you planning on watching 1 second of the Pro Bowl?
See, every year I watch like 5 minutes of it, and then I'm done with
that's
it.
That's about it.
Never the full game. I don't think I've ever watched the full Pro Bowl.
No. I did think, you know, the skills competition is kind of fun, but they have Joe Tessitore on the call, and it's way over the top. I think Joe's fine. I think he's a good broadcaster. It's a skills competition. Have some fun, for crying out loud. And Booger McFarland interviewing people talking about it serious. Oh, Lamar Jackson lost the throwing contest. You know what? I don't know Lamar Jackson. I don't know if he parties. I can tell you people go to the Pro Bowl and party. I'm guessing they're not at 100% for those contests. I'm just guessing. I don't have any proof of that. I'm just saying the Pro Bowl's a party. That's what it's for. It's for the sponsors. It's for the players and their families. It's for the league. They're there to have a good time. So I always love that every year. Well, a linebacker won the throwing contest. Well, yeah, because they actually want to. Quarterbacks, I don't think, really care. There's nothing in it for them. It's not. Anyway, it's kind of fun. The dodgeball was fun to watch. I, like you, I'm probably going to put about 5 minutes of effort into watching the Pro Bowl. And the best thing about the Pro Bowl today is there will be no Chiefs playing in it. That'll be the best thing, because the Chiefs are playing a little game called the Super Bowl. One story that did come out from the Pro Bowlers, there are several things being, they're talking about several topics. I did see a lot of cuts this morning from players, including Von Miller, about how good Patrick Mahomes is. And the question comes up every time, how do you stop him? How do you stop Patrick Mahomes? How do you control that high-powered offense? Got to get bodies on him. That's about it. And Von Miller had some great things to say. He's like, man, you want to keep him in the pocket? Great. He's going to throw it downfield. He's going to launch it on you. You want to flush him and get him out in the pocket in space? He's going to show you something you've never seen before. The sidearms, the no-looks, the left-handeds, the across the field, the sidearm under, the sidearm across the field through a window that doesn't exist that all of a sudden materializes. That's what you get. All the experts can go on TV and the radio and give you their game plan for stopping Patrick Mahomes, and I'm sure there's some good ideas. I'm sure the 49ers have some good ideas. But it's like the, this gets overused so much, but I'm going to throw it out there. It's like the old Mike Tyson saying, everybody's got a plan until you get punched in the face. Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs are probably going to punch you in the face at some point. Now, you go back to that Texans game, Chiefs got punched in the face. Big time. They were like Cowboy Cerullo, whatever his name is, against Conor McGregor.
Cerrone.
Cerrone. Okay, you can tell how much I follow MMA. That's okay.
Close. You said.
God, I saw a highlight last night of a guy getting kneed in the side of the head and just fell down, and then the guy jumped on top of him and tried to keep hitting him, and they had to pull him off, and I was like, ugh, jeez. But it's like that. Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs got punched in the face against the Texans. So the initial game plan, what do? The Chiefs kept doing their thing. They didn't. There was no, look, I don't want to say there was no panic. I'm sure some guys were nervous as hell. You're down 24-0 in a playoff game at home. You saw Travis Kelce marching up and down the sidelines, getting in people's faces, telling Sammy Watkins, step up. Get your head in the game. And they kept doing what they do. They didn't stray from what they normally do. And that's so important in the Super Bowl. Super Bowl can get away from you so fast. It's the biggest stage of your life. The biggest game of your life. You're going to have over a billion people around the world watching. Over a billion. It's like, what, 235 countries around the world? Be watching the Super Bowl. Now, I don't know how many of those countries are huge fans of the National Football League, but the fact that it's on is huge. You're going to have a billion people, more than a billion people watching your game. What are you going to do if you get punched in the face? What did the Patriots do when they got jacked by the Falcons? They went back to the drawing board, climbed back in the game, went to overtime, won the damn game.
And Julian Edelman made the craziest catch I've ever seen.
I'm sick of Julian Edelman. Good Lord.
It's so cool, though. If you win the Super Bowl, your team is immortalized. Every single person on that team.
Yep.
Just think of Dan Sorensen. He's, you know, up and down, kind of, but that guy could be immortalized. He's been great this year, and he'll be beloved forever, as will everyone on that team. So it's a huge deal.
By the way, I found when I was printing off the 20 pages of prop bets, they have who's gonna have interception. You can bet on things on like that. They have over-unders on that, and Daniel Sorensen is on there. And of course, I didn't highlight it, and I'm going through it now, but it's a significant payoff if you bet on Daniel Sorensen to get an interception with low risk. And I'll find that number for you a little bit later in the show.
We heard Matthew yesterday, and he said they're talking
about Tyrann Mathieu's on there.
They're talking about Kittle. And I think that he knows that Sorensen's going to have to step up, play a big part in this game,
yep,
as well as Matthew.
Yeah. I'll be curious to see if Ben Neiman gets matched up against George Kittle at some point. The two Iowa guys who practiced against each other for, I don't know how many years they were at Iowa together, three, four, whatever it was. That'll be interesting. So one of the issues that came up at the Pro Bowl yesterday, and we're going to come up on a break here before we get to Kelly Stewart, the subject of playing a 17th game has come up again. And it's not going to go away. It's just not. And various players were asked about, what do you think about a 17th game? Do you think it'll happen? Is the collective bargaining agreement is coming up. And this will be an area of negotiation. If the owners really want this 17th game, they're going to have to make concessions. Calais Campbell from Jacksonville says, quote, when I talk to guys, I don't think many people want to do it, that 17th game. Really, you talk to guys, and I don't think anybody wants to do it. It's going to be very tough. I know the ownership's really hard on it. We're definitely talking, trying to figure out what we need to do, how we can make things work. It's going to be a process, but 17 games, that's very tough. Tennessee Titans defensive lineman Jarrell Casey said at the end of the day, it's more paychecks. It's another game check. The owners are going to have to put money on the table. It's another game check. You don't get paid in the preseason. You get your little roster bonuses and those sorts of things. You don't get game checks in the preseason. So Jarrell Casey said, at the end of the day, it's more checks, but at the end of the day, your body gets worn down. Your body goes through a lot in this sport. Honestly, if you add more games, you take away something else. If they take away more practices, take away some of training camp, I'd play more games. That's what Jarrell Casey said. Get rid of those camps, and we can do more games, baby. That's his quote.
Just take away some preseason games. Ugh. At least one, please.
Preseason games, please. Are the bane of my existence. Now, I have to watch it because that's my job. And occasionally you find a guy here, you find a guy there. But I'm saying going into game two, if you're looking at the 53-man roster, 48 to 49 of those spots are already locked in. Barring injury. You're playing those games for like four or five guys.
Yeah, it's
what you're playing those games for.
The young guys, you know, and I get it from that aspect. Maybe that's where these other leagues will come in, like the XFL, but really like the Josh Caldwell moment, that was awesome. But
yeah,
four games is a lot in the preseason.
Yeah, just get rid of that. And the owners are going to have to decide, do they want, how many games can they get rid of? And because it's money. For the owners, it's money. Players ain't getting paid for the preseason games. Teams are making money off tickets, and they are full price. 17th NFL game, look, fine, I guess. It's not something I feel I need in my life. An extra game would be great. Do another post-game show with Joshua Briscoe. That's fine. But I don't need it. If it happens, I'll be happy about it. It's not something I feel that I need as a fan. But we'll see. They got a lot to talk about. It all comes down to money. That's what it comes down to. Just like betting on these games, which we're going to talk about next with Kelly Stewart. And, man, that would be a fun job. Learn the business. She works for a couple of different people. She has her own service as well. Lives in Vegas. She'll be in Atlantic City. She's in Atlantic City today doing stuff for Bleacher Report. But that would be a lot of fun. So Kelly Stewart's coming up next. At 11 o'clock, Darren Smith live from South Beach. He's there to cover the Chiefs for Sports Radio 810 WHB. And then at 11 o'clock, Nick Jacobs, 41 Action News, and co-host of the podcast, 4th and 1, with Todd Palmer. So that'll be a fun. Also later in the show, we'll do some birthdays today. There's some fun birthdays from celebrities today. By the way, later on today, more football coverage after we're done with our show. At 1:30, Pro Bowl coverage and the Pro Bowl game here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. And then tonight, it's nonstop Super Bowl coverage. At 9 p.m., 7 days to Sunday, from Westwood One, we'll take over the airwaves. All right, quick time out. When we come back, Kelly Stewart will give us the view from Vegas and Atlantic City, what they think about the Chiefs and the 49ers and Super Bowl 54. I'm finally getting excited. I'm there. We're a Sunday away. I'm there.
This is Sports Sunday. My name is Brad Porter. Joshua Byers is running the show. You're on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Miami. South Beach, bringing the heat.
This song's probably 15 years old, 16, 17 years old, but there always seems a reason to bring it back. And you know what? Whatever you think of Will Smith's raps or his music, it's fun. I have fun listening to Will Smith. I'm not saying it's the greatest in the world. I'm saying it's fun. It seems like he's having fun, like he's always had fun. Where it's the stuff he did when he was the Fresh Prince. Doing the theme to Men in Black. Doing the theme to Wild Wild West. Going to Miami. Whatever. It's just fun. I like it. Back on Sports Sunday. Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City. My name is Brad Porter. Joshua Byers is running the show. Scheduled to have Kelly Stewart on the show from live from Atlantic City to give us kind of the view of how the gambling community is reacting to the Chiefs 49ers game. I know she is taping shows today for Bleacher Report in Atlantic City, so she may have a little bit of a conflict. We'll try to get her again, try to get her back in a couple of minutes because it's going right to voicemail. She's a busy person. She had websites, Twitter accounts, TV shows, web shows, Instagram, everything. So she's got a lot of stuff to take care of. We're going to try to get her locked in here sometime in the next few minutes. I did find on the prop bets from Westgate, we talked about this earlier in the show for the Chiefs and the 49ers. I did find the one for, will Daniel Sorensen intercept a pass? Yes is plus 425. Big payoff. Yes, Daniel Sorensen will intercept a pass, plus 425. No, minus 600. So you'd want to take the yes on that, right? If you're only putting out like $5.
The Chiefs win?
Yeah.
Which I think they, have a good chance of doing, then yeah. I think they will get a pick.
Yeah. Here's the other Chiefs players' odds of intercepting a pass, or the betting odds in intercepting a pass. Tyrann Mathieu, yes, plus 375. That seems pretty good. He drops a lot of interceptions. He's got a little Derek Johnson in him when it comes to intercepting the football. So Tyrann Mathieu, yes for an interception, plus 375. No, minus 500. Bashaud Breeland is on the list. Plus 550 for a yes. Minus 800 for a no. They're saying he's pretty much not going to intercept the pass. They're counting on him not to intercept the pass. So I thought that was kind of fun. Chiefs rushing yards, over-under, total. What do you think the over-under is in the sports book? Total rushing yards for the Chiefs. Mahomes has had 50 a couple of times here recently.
I'm gonna
By
guess,
himself.
I'm going to guess 118.
It's lower than that. It's 88.5.
Wow.
Minus 110 for either one. Don't think the Chiefs are going to rush the ball. Total quarterback sacks by the Chiefs defense. Getting to Garoppolo. Let me check. I think he was brought down twice last week. Let me just... Of course, doing this live on the air does not make good radio, but I can find it real quick here. Where is that game? One more. I'm almost there. The game against the Green Bay. Got it. Okay, I've got it. It didn't take me as long as I thought. So last week, Jimmy Garoppolo was sacked one time. The over-under number on the Chiefs' defense getting sacks is 2.5. The Chiefs get a lead. 49ers in a situation where they need to throw the ball might open some things up. So there's some fun stuff, and we'll kick that stuff around. Most completions, Jimmy Garoppolo or Patrick Mahomes? Mahomes minus 6.5.
What is most completions? More completions.
Garoppolo or Mahomes? Mahomes is minus 6.5. So if you pick, if
didn't
you pick
he throw
Garoppolo,
it like eight
you,
times?
Huh?
Didn't he throw it like 8 times last week?
Yeah, he threw it. Yeah, completed 6 of 8 passes for 77 yards.
There you go.
I think I would crush that for Mahomes. Give up the 6.5. I don't know. Sometimes everybody wants to reference Garoppolo from early in the season. Had that huge game. Was it the Saints game? I believe, where he just went crazy.
Yeah, that game was. And then really Kittle won the game at the end when he went off on a long run just to get him in field goal range.
Just crushing brothers.
And yeah, over under on your chances of bringing down George Kittle.
Zero. 0 out of 100. So in the game against the Saints, Garoppolo completed 29 of 40 passes. 5 touchdowns. No picks. Now, they didn't run the ball particularly well. They weren't terrible. Murray had 7 carries for 69. That's the New Orleans side. The San Francisco, Mostert had 10 carries for 69 yards. Breida had 6 carries for 54. Samuel had 2 carries for 33. So ended up with 162 total. That was a game that was just nuts. Let's see. More gross passing yards. Garoppolo, Mahomes. Mahomes is giving up 69.5 yards. So if you're going to take Mahomes, you're going to have to bet that he's going to have 70 or more yards more than Garoppolo.
Soft yes.
Exactly. That's one of those where I don't want to get near it. Player to score a touchdown first. Now there's a number of these. And again, you can find this all online. This is from Westgate, Las Vegas. They've got like 600 prep bets here. Player to score a touchdown first. George Kittle, Travis Kelce. And that's not the first in the game. That's between those two. George Kittle, Travis Kelce.
Probably, I want to say Kittle, just because I could see that happening. Kelce will likely score, but maybe not in the beginning. He's more of a later type of guy.
Gets stronger, builds throughout the game. Another head-to-head for who's going to score first, Raheem Mostert, Damian Williams. Now you're getting a little friendly number here. Mostert is minus 170. It's a big matzo ball. Damian Williams plus 145. And again, this is head-to-head between the two. Who will score first?
Well, Williams can bust off a 90-yarder.
And it doesn't say it has to be rushing.
If he wants to.
Doesn't say it has to be rushing.
Yeah, Mostert, I think he had a great game. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's not symbolic of who he is as a running back that game. I think that was the best game of his career.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe you could say the same thing about Williams with his 90-yard run. Like, that's not symbolic of what type of runner he is. I don't know. That's a tough one, though.
Yeah.
Maybe they're just going to pass the whole game.
Two more head-to-heads, and then I'll move on. Two more head-to-heads. Who's going to score a touchdown first? George Kittle or Tyreek Hill? George Kittle plus 115, Tyreek Hill minus 135. And see, again, these are things that I would stay away from because I could easily see the Chiefs opening up with a 70-yard bomb to Tyreek Hill. I could see the 49ers putting together a consistent drive and chewing up clock and getting George Kittle in the end zone on 3rd and 6. I could see either one of them, so I'd stay away from that. The final one, head-to-head, Raheem Mostert or Tyreek Hill? Who would score first? Mostert is minus 190. Tyreek Hill is plus 160.
Tough one. That's a toughie. I don't like these bets.
I don't either. I just think they're interesting.
I like the camera angle ones, you know, like what's the over-under they're going to show Patrick Mahomes Sr. or something like that.
Right.
Joe Buck's face, Troy Aikman's face.
How about, I'll bet they'll have an over-under on Patrick Mahomes the first. Mr. Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes the second's dad. I'll bet they'll have an over-under on that, right? At some point. Because if you have a famous parent, they usually get you on TV at least once. But I could see it every time. If Patrick Mahomes throws four touchdown passes, I can see that reaction shot every time.
If the
I know
over-under
TV works.
Set at one,
yeah,
then I'm taking the over for sure.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know who else is going to be, what, you're going to have. See, if Jennifer Lopez and Shakira are doing the halftime show, I don't think they're in the press box during the game. I don't think they're in a luxury suite during the game. They're probably getting focused, getting centered, getting their voices ready. I think I saw, I didn't see it, I didn't print it out, but there's a over-under on if, not an over-under, but you can bet on whether or not Jennifer Lopez and Shakira will sing a duet together. I mean, that's got to happen, right? If they're both there, might as well. I mean, I can see the trade-off. One does their song, the other does their song, and they go back and forth, and then at the end they do a duet. So we'll try. Did you try Kelly one more time? All right, so we may not get Kelly Stewart. That's okay. She told us, you know, they're taping TV shows today for Bleacher Report, and they might, it might fall through, and it looks like that may be happening. That's okay. Oh, it's ringing. Okay. No, it's not ringing. Go ahead and talk to me over the air, Joshua, because I can't hear you.
I was going to say check yours.
Oh, check. Okay.
Making sure I got the number right, you know.
Well, I'll do this. I'll move on to college basketball since we're not, it looks like we're not going to get Kelly. That's, it happens. No, she hasn't texted me or anything. Let's, oh, you're double checking the number? Okay. Again, probably shouldn't be doing this on the air.
I didn't realize that, a little CBB here, but that Tennessee had six lefties? That's kind of crazy to think about, you know? Six southpaws on one team, and you've got to guard all of them, you know? Kansas had a rough time in the beginning.
Yes.
But then overcame.
Yes, you do have her correct number. So let's move on and get into college basketball. I was going to save that for later in the show, but sometimes when you have a guest drop out, it happens. It's okay. Start with KU. First of all, I thought it was cool that Peyton Manning was at the game at Allen Fieldhouse. He said he'd never been to a game at Allen Fieldhouse. I don't know if he was invited, if, you know, if Tennessee invited him, if Bill Self invited him, if ESPN invited him. I'm not sure how that happened, why he was there, but he'd never been to a game, and he was there to root on his volunteers. I think that's pretty cool.
I picture him and Rick Barnes being, you know, somewhat buddies.
Maybe,
they go to dinner every once in a while.
Play golf?
Play golf every once in a while.
The Volunteer Alumni Association. That was cool. My friend Kenitra Pulliams got to interview him for ESPN Plus. So, very cool. Now, In following the game, because I had to listen to it on radio because I was in the car part of the time. I got to see a little bit of it on TV. But it was a little head-scratching at how early in the game Ezebuke came out. I know they're worried about foul trouble, but then I saw, and I'm going to apologize. I forgot if it was Jesse Newell or one of the other KU reporters, maybe Matt Tate. Somebody put out a stat on how often he picks up a foul, like every 12 minutes or something like that. So it was kind of head-scratching that he came out and sat for that long a period of time before he got back into the game. In the second half, he took the bad boy over. There's not many players in college basketball who can do what he does with that size. Just fantastic. Dominant performer. So, I was reading through a couple of my notes here. KU's trailing by 7 points. 6 minutes to go in that first half. Ezebuke comes back into the game after the foul trouble. Scored 7 points. Six on dunks. And a 12-0 run for Kansas. They turn the 7-point deficit into a 7-point halftime lead, 37-30. I mean, the game absolutely changed. And the five-guard offense for Kansas didn't look good. It did not look good. But if KU felt they had to sit Azubuike for that amount of time, they didn't have a lot of options. Couldn't bring in David McCormick. He's suspended. So I thought it was odd. I get the thinking behind it. To me, it didn't make a lot of sense, but there's a reason Bill Self gets paid $5 million a year to coach basketball, and I don't. Devon Dotson, also a great game, 22 points. I was glad to see Ochai Agbaji, Kansas City kid, Oak Park High School, kind of get back on track a little bit. Hit 3 three-pointers, 16 points. His season has been inconsistent.
I just feel like with him, he plays better at Allen Fieldhouse, which is kind of to be expected.
Right.
But then when they're on the road, it's just a slight step back. But if he can get more consistent.
Yeah.
But they mentioned on the broadcast he was shooting 30% from three-point last year.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's shooting 36%, so he has made that jump, you say. But it's not – it hasn't really translated into consistent
right.
numbers.
Because we saw flashes of it last year, and I think he was redshirted until, second week of January? And he had some performances that made you think, okay, this guy's going to jump off in his sophomore year. It's been inconsistent. It happens to young players. Hopefully they get it rounded out. So KU gets a win over Tennessee, 74-68. I had one more note I wanted to get in on that. Keeping the turnovers down, huge for KU. Only 6 turnovers in the game. That's the fewest since they played Texas in January 2019. So if you're in a tight game, if you got a player in foul trouble, your 5-guard offense is a little bit iffy, important thing is don't turn the ball over. Then you can get in a spot you don't want to be in. So KU wins in the Big 12 SEC Challenge.
Who won the challenge?
Let me see. I've got the scoreboard over here.
I know Big 12 was their 4-1 all time.
Yeah,
I think
they're 12
or 3-1.
Yeah, they're good. Oklahoma's got they've got Oklahoma State coming up. So, of course, my screen goes blank right when I go to that. I don't get a lot out of the Big 12 SEC Challenge. I get it; it's a marketing thing. So yesterday, Oklahoma gets a 1-point win over Mississippi State. Baylor gets an 11-point win over Florida. Kansas gets the win over Tennessee. West Virginia pounded Mizzou. I can go into that, but it almost seems like pointless right now the way Mizzou is playing. Kentucky was able to rally and come back and beat Texas Tech 76-74. Auburn beat Iowa State by 4. LSU squeaked by Texas 69-67. Oklahoma State beat Texas A&M 73-62. Arkansas over TCU 78-67. And K-State, they rallied nicely but came up short, losing at Alabama 77-74. K-State game, that had a chance to get out of hand if you were watching that. They got down pretty significantly and then put together a good stretch to come back in that game. It's fine. It just, I don't know.
It was 5 teams in each conference won.
Yeah. But K-State made it, they got down early. They made it a 1-possession game on a couple of different, at a couple of different points. K-State, here's the note I was looking for. K-State led for more than 15 minutes in the first half before giving up that lead moments into the second half. Alabama scored the first 7 points after halftime. And just, you got to come out and you got to be on fire. Now, Mizzou, I don't really want to spend a lot of time on Mizzou because, frankly, it's not fun. I get it, Mizzou fans, I get it. Don't think I'm cracking on you. It just ain't fun. It's no fun to watch. It's not fun to watch your team go out there and stink. So Mizzou got down by 14 in the first half. Went on a 17-4 run. And they were down by 1 at the break, 24-23. So Mizzou's in it, right? West Virginia's 24 first-half points, second fewest in an opening frame this season, fewest since November 26th. Then the Mountaineers came out firing, got a double-digit lead, never giving it back. West Virginia shot 50% from the floor in the final 20 minutes. 50%. Terrence Watson has 19 points for Mizzou. Okay, he came off the bench to score 19 points. Do you know how many points the five Missouri starters scored combined? Five guys. Team scored 51 total. Terrence Watson off the bench for 19. Missouri Tigers, the five starters, combined for 14 points. 14! How does... I don't have the historical numbers in front of me, but how does that happen? That's a team that either wasn't motivated, wasn't prepared, or just had one of the worst games of their lives. And at this point, what's happening at Mizzou right now, at this point of the season, is the same thing that's been happening for so many years now. Apathy is set in. At some point, you get angry. Early in the season, things aren't going your way. Dang, I thought my team was going to be better this year. I thought we were going to make a run. I thought we were going to get a shot at making the NCAA tournament. Maybe not. Maybe get close, though. Play respectable basketball. For Mizzou right now, if I'm a fan, I'm checked out. Call me if something changes, because this is happening over and over and over again. Not an anti-Mizzou rant on my chart, on my part. I want to see everybody do well. Mizzou, KU, K-State, UMKC, whoever it is. Right now, man, tuning out. And that's where you don't want to be as a university. I will take a quick time out. We'll wrap up hour number one. Coming up at 10, Darren Smith will join us live from Miami. He's down there for Sports Radio 810 WHB, leading our large contingent that will be out there throughout the week this week. Again, we'll wrap it up. You're listening to Sports Sunday. My name is Brad Porter. Joshua Byers is running the show, and you're on Sports Radio 810 WHB. All right, Joshua, you told me before the show which Miami tunes you were going to play today, but I forgot who this was.
It's our halftime performer.
Oh, is it Shakira?
One half of it.
Okay. I guess I didn't recognize it right away. I should have. I like Shakira. I like Jennifer Lopez. There's nothing at all you can find wrong with that halftime show. Now, it's never going to beat Prince. That's just a fact. Nobody will ever do it better than Prince. Because it was the perfect... Everything was perfect about it. First of all, Prince as a performer is just... It was just off the charts. And I wish I could have seen him live one time, but never got to. But everything was perfect. He does, you know, a couple of minutes of his big hits. He's got that huge guitar of his. Then he starts playing Purple Rain, and they throw up those blankets where you can see his shadow behind it, and it's pouring rain while he's playing Purple Rain. You're not going to get that again. Nobody's going to have the perfect song that coincides with the weather at the time. That's just not going to happen. Unless maybe they had it at the Super Bowl in another cold weather city and the Snow Patrol played and it started snowing, I guess. But that's not going to happen again. Darren Smith is coming up next. What time do we need to break, Josh? I should have asked you that in the 50 cent. Okay. So we were talking during the break about, since we didn't get Kelly Stewart on the show to talk about how Atlantic City and Las Vegas are handling the Super Bowl, I was looking around because when we have Darren on next, he's already in South Beach, and I didn't know whether or not sports wagering was legal in Florida. I know they have horse racing, and you can bet on Hialeah and things like that. They do not have legal sports wagering, and there are many problems, which I read up on. I don't know if I need to bore you with the details because we're waiting in Missouri and Kansas to get it done, but I was just reading an article on the Orlando Sun-Sentinel website that there are people pushing for it in the state legislature. But there are so many problems. First of all, if you know anything about Florida politics, it's the backwater, belching political capital of the United States. It's awful. It's so dirty. Not that other states don't have dirty politics. Florida's, if you read the Florida papers, which I do sometimes, it's so filthy. Why do you think it's taken David Beckham in Major League Soccer almost 7 years to get a stadium deal done? Because everybody's got the handout. Ooh, why didn't you buy this property here? Why do you want us to build the stadium there? Because I get a kickback. I'm not mentioning any names because I don't want to get sued. But Florida politics is filthy. So they've got all these people that got their hands out. Do they want to do it with the lottery? Do they, which they're going to deal with in Missouri and Kansas as well. What are they going to do with it? They got groups that are going to take them to court to block it. Also, another thing that's standing in the way is the Seminole tribe of Florida. They have six casinos, and they want total control of sports betting in Florida. So it's probably not going to happen anytime soon. I mean, it'll happen at some point, but it's not going to happen anytime soon. In the article I'm reading, they estimate illegal wagering across the United States every year. Do you know what the dollar total is? Can you ballpark it? I'll give you within $25 billion. I'll give you that.
Say it again.
Illegal sports wagering. How much money is illegally bet in the United States every year? And I'll give you within $50 billion.
Illegally bet. Goodness, I don't know. In the billions, you said?
Yeah, and I'm giving you a $50 billion swing either way.
$232 billion.
Oh, you're close. That was kind of close. That's a good guess. It's estimated. They don't know. Nobody knows for sure. It's estimated to be $150 billion. All right, we'll take a timeout. When we come back, more coverage. Super Bowl 54, our Darren Smith is in South Beach. First one on the ground for Sports Radio 810 WHB. You're listening to Sports Saturday. My name is Brad Porter. Josh Byers is running the show. Back after this.